Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Jeremiah's lamentation for the judgment that came upon his nation, Israel, at the first event, the first overspreading of abomination that brought about the desolation of the city, the temple, and the nation the first time. First time their desolations lasted 70 years before the temple was rebuilt, and then following that, the city was reconstructed and they gained back their homeland. The terms of their government were changed, of course, at that time. We've discovered that going through Jeremiah and especially Ezekiel, receiving the priest temple sacrifice system and instructions for the rebuilding of the temple and the temple service. We saw changes there from the first time. The inclusion of the king as part of that temple service, a different position for the king. Of course, when the temple was built the first time, or when the priest temple sacrifice system was given the first time in the wilderness, there was no king. So the inclusion of the king by the instruction of Ezekiel was a change. Also, it was a change for the nation. No longer a rod or instrument of judgment in the Heavenly Father's hand. He had risen, he had brought up nations to do his bidding. And starting with Babylon, he wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment. And so continues to judge nations in the same way. The lamentation here, very sorrowful lamentation by Jeremiah, seeing the destruction, the first desolation of the nation, the temple, the city, Jerusalem. Of course, when he wrote this, it sounds like he could have wrote this in his dungeon, because he was in prison, imprisoned in the city during the siege. People were starving to death, as he writes here about how they even ate the fruit of their own womb. Very terrible times, and how he could have survived in that prison, I can only say that the Heavenly Father sustained him until he was freed by the king of Babylon when the siege was finally broken. He laments here, will continue his lament. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And of course, he's not personally speaking for himself, although I'm sure that he feels these things. I'm sure that if this kind of judgment came on America, even remote from me, America comparatively to Jerusalem, and Israel is such a far spread out land that I believe that when judgment comes here, the sword and famine and pestilence, and I believe that it will surely come, it will be heavier and harder in certain places. There may be places where people will be relatively safe. But I'll tell you what, if you're one of the disobedient, you won't be safe anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, because you cannot escape the hand of the Almighty. So he says, I forget prosperity. Yes, prosperity is forgotten. Peace is gone. Prosperity forgotten. We live in a very prosperous land. Though, I mean, in our land here is so prosperous that they have a poverty level that they gauge by an economic gauge, when that same economic gauge could be applied to other parts of the world, those people would be thought to be rich. That's right. That's prosperity in America, would be to be rich in other places. But let's forget all about prosperity. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished. From Yahuwah, remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Yahuwah is my portion, by name here in the Hebrew, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. He is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahuwah. And here, in the middle of his lamentation, he gives us the gospel of hope. He says, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Regardless of the circumstance we're in, we're not perished. Where there's life, there is hope. My strength and my hope is perished from Yahuwah. He says, remembering my affliction and my misery, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I have hope. Thy mercies, it is by thy mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, day by day. He is my portion. And you know, he should be our portion in times of prosperity. If he's your portion in times of prosperity, then he'll be your portion in times of want. Therefore I will hope in him. Chapter 3, verse 25. Yahuwah, the Lord, is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you know, it's just every day. It's just getting up every day quietly, living and waiting for his salvation. And what does it mean to wait for his salvation? We should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahuwah. It's in all the little things, the quiet times of life, the decisions that you make when you feel desperate, in the desperate quiet times that you have to get through and wait. It's waiting without satisfying the lusts of the flesh. Just wait. Just wait. You may have to wait a lifetime, but, you know, that's a lifetime of waiting is what it is. It is good that a man should both hope. And what's the hope? Well, the hope is all the promises. The hope is eternal life through his Messiah, through his Redeemer. This is the same hope that Jeremiah had and is talking of here. They looked forward, of course, to the Redeemer, and we look back on the Redeemer, but we still wait. We still wait the same wait that Jeremiah waited. We wait that too. We do it in times of prosperity, and we do it in times of want. We do it in times of lamentation and times of rejoicing. We wait. Every day we wait without giving in, without going after the things of the flesh. We wait quietly for the salvation of Yahuwah. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Jeremiah giving us some instruction for the young man. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone, and he keepeth silence, because he has borne it upon him. But that's not what the youth do today. Well, they go to be schooled in the public school system. And they learn, don't wait. Yes, go out and party and have sex and do drugs. That's right. And, well, if you have a child, kill it. You know, that would be an inconvenience. You're not ready for that yet. But don't wait. Go out there and live life to the fullest and consume everything you can. Don't wait. Yeah, just go out there. Smoke pot, smoke cigarettes, do drug, drink alcohol, eat all the garbage that you can stuff in your face, fast foods and chips and pop and McDonald's, Big Macs, whatever. Don't wait. Eat it up. That's right. Eat life up. Don't wait in faith and hope for an eternal prize. Don't wait for that. Live it now. Spend it up. Use it up. Burn it up. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone, and keepeth silence, because he has borne it upon him. He put his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. Yes, that sounds like what Messiah said, turn the other cheek. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. Well, there's a statement for you, all the prisoners of the earth. Yes, it's kind of like we are prisoners of the earth, aren't we? We can't leave. We can't get out. All the prisoners of the earth, what a statement. To turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. That's a question. I should rephrase that as a question. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? That's right. You receive evil out of the mouth of the Most High for the punishment of your sins. He allows that evil to come upon you. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord, Yahuwah by name here. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. How could a loving God? See, that's the question that the accusers have for those that believe and wait upon him. How could a loving God allow people to suffer like this? And we see a lot of suffering in the world, do we not? A lot of death and destruction. We see hundreds of thousands of people die in a moment. Several tsunamis have taken care of that one. Floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. How many tens of thousands of people even just die on the highways every year? I think more people die on the highways in America than any other cause of death, even natural death. Imagine that. We blame him for that too? Well, people do. How could God allow my child to get hit by that car? They always blame him. But the real cause for all of our, you know, that's a question I guess every man needs to ask. Why? Why is there suffering in the world? Well, the scripture gives us the answer. There's suffering because of sin. There's suffering because the Heavenly Father allows men to sin. He gives you the freedom, the freedom to enter into the bondage of sin by your own choice. You get to choose. That's right. And it's that sin that brings about all the suffering in the world. But it's by the choice of man. It's not by his choice. He takes no pleasure in it. He allows it for our own good, if you could imagine that at all. He allows it for our own good, that we might repent, that we might come to the knowledge of the truth, to a saving knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of the truth that leads to eternal life through his Redeemer. That's what it's all about. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and we have rebelled, and thou hast not pardoned, thou hast covered with anger. So when judgment comes, we should not be surprised if we have transgressed and have rebelled, when he doesn't pardon us and he allows the consequences of our sin to come upon us, and yes, even punishes the nation around us. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Everybody wants to pray when the judgment comes. But before that, when the times are good and they're enjoying the prosperity, oh, they don't have time to regard him, to give him thanks, to wait quietly every day to take the yoke upon them in their youth. They want to go out and spend their life and enjoy all the pleasures, even though those pleasures be derived from wickedness. Then the Heavenly Father gave us sexual pleasure for a good purpose. It was a gift from him that we should enjoy the relationship, the lawful relationship that a man has with his wife, that it should be an enjoyable thing, that it should be an enjoyable thing that we have children, that whole experience should be good and pleasurable and lawful, but we want it unlawful. So we go out and break his law because we just want the pleasure. We want to enjoy all those things. We want to spend our life, and that's what they teach you. Oh, go out, take the pill. That's right, and if the pill don't work, kill it. That's right. Yeah, why should you be burdened with the responsibility of a child? Yeah, why should you be burdened with the responsibility of a child? I'll tell you why you should be burdened with the responsibility of the child. One, because you should be responsible for your actions. Two, someone was responsible for you. Do you not owe it? Is there not a responsibility to act in kind toward an innocent child in the womb, as someone acted to you, toward you in kind, and suckled you and nurtured you and took care of you and gave you everything you needed to live so that you could grow up and pay evil for that good? So the time of judgment comes and the wicked start praying. He says, oh, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. It's too late. Sorry. And your prayers are all wrong anyway. You're not praying in repentance and lamentation for your sin. You're praying because you're paying the price and you want relief. And your prayers are mostly an accusation against God. Oh, why? How could you let this happen to me? All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare are come upon us. Desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord Yahuwah look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. And then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Yahuwah, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord. At first he says Adonai. Now he says Yahuwah. Thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. It feels like Jeremiah is getting very personal. He is in the dungeon during the siege at Jerusalem. Thou hast heard their reproach, Yahuwah, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rise up against me, and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down, and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Yahuwah, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart and thy curse unto them. Oh, I laugh because, you know, because I feel this. You know, I have a constant persecution and enemies over here just trying to destroy me, just making up things against me and just evil upon evil. And I feel these things and it's difficult because you feel what you feel is not good about people that are trying to destroy you, your family, your children, and steal everything that you have and work for, even though they have plenty. You know, they do this, and there's an evil, there's a demonic evil hatred that drives these people. And I know why they hate me. It's because of him. I don't really understand it all, but I do feel these things. The imaginations, all their imaginations against me. And that's what they are. They're all imaginations, all lies. They imagine a thing and they think it's true in their own mind, or that other people should believe it because they imagined it and said it and it sounded good to them. Sounded like a good lie to them that they could get others to believe. All their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rise up against me and their device against me all the day. They're sitting down, they're rising up. I am their music. Yeah, they delight. That's their song they sing all day long against me, trying to destroy me, trying to get others to sing the song with them. And to a certain degree, they prosper, and others join them and believe their lies and start singing their song with them, their song of lies, their web of deceit. I say, render unto them a recompense. Huh? Thank you, Jeremiah. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Let it come back on them. Everything, that all the evil that they devise against me, let it come back on them. Render to them a recompense according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. And you know, that is it. That really is it. You devise evil against others, that evil will come upon you. I've seen so much of that. I see people that go out and they collect welfare. They'll fake a sickness and something, and so that they can go out and collect welfare. And guess what happens to them? That sickness comes upon them and it kills them. You know, it's like their own curse upon them. Thy curse unto them is as they have what they've desired for others. I've seen it comes upon them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of Yahuwah. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Jeremiah, his lamentation from the dungeon in Jerusalem during the siege there, speaking words against his enemies and those that sorely persecute him. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and join me for the next segment. We'll be back.